As everyone knows, today is Asara B'Teves. And the Navi Zechariah in the 8th parak describes the four sad fests. What the Navi Zechariah refers to as the Tzom HaRevi'i, the Tzom HaChamishi, the Tzom HaShevi'i, the Tzom HaAsiri. And the Navi says that these four fasts, which are currently obviously sad days, Yeh LeBeis Yehuda LeSason LeSimcha ULeMoadim Tovim, Va'emes Va'ashalom Ehavu. That these days, which are currently days of Chorban and days of tragedy, are going to become days of great joy, and become Yomim Tovim, days of great celebration. What is the Navi referring to when he says the Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShevi'i, Tzom HaAsiri? The fast of the fourth. The fourth what? The fourth month. So if we count from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. So the fast of the fourth is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. What's the Tzom HaChamishi? The fast of the fifth month, counting from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Tisha B'Av. What's the Tzom HaShevi'i? So Tishrei, the seventh month from Nisan is Tishrei, which would be Tzom Gedalia. And lastly, we are now in the 10th month. Today is the 10th day of the 10th month. And that's what we call the Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the 10th, which is the fast of Teves, which of course is the 10th of Teves. What about Tanis Esther? Tanis Esther is not, you see from this pasuk that Tanis Esther is not a... It's not a sad fast. But these are the sad fasts which are going to be transformed. Tanis Esther is different, Yom Kippur is different. Okay, these are the four rabbinic fasts which all connect to the Chorban, and we look forward to the future when they will become days of great joy. If you look in the Psukim in the beginning of the 25th chapter of Malachim Beis, so it describes what happened on the 10th day of the 10th month. Today is the 10th month. Teves, it's the 10th day, Sarah B'Teves. So over there, if you look in Malachim Beis, in Parachav Hay, at the very beginning there, it says that on the 25th, it says that on the 10th of Teves, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel came with all of his troops. Get a little bit of a glimpse of what happened on Sarah B'Teves. And if you look in the Navi in Yecheskel, also, we find a little bit more to the story. Okay, so if you look in the Gemara, in source number 2, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah actually quotes this pasuk in Yecheskel. Again, already we know a little bit about this story from Malachim Beis. But the Navi Yecheskel tells us, and the Gemara ends upon it, quoting first our pasuk in Zechariah, Tzom HaAsiri, Zeh Asar B'Teves. What is the fast of the 10th? This refers to the fast month, namely Asar B'Teves. What happened on that day? Shebo, Sach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. Today was the day when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, surrounded and laid a siege around Yerushalayim. And it quotes the Pesukim in Yecheskel, Shenemar, Vihi Devar Hashem Elai B'Shana HaTshiis. It was in the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, B'Chodesh HaAsiri, in the 10th month, B'Asur LaChodesh, on the 10th day, Lamor, that the Navi Yecheskel was told, Ben Adam, that's the term that appears a lot in Sefer Yecheskel, Ben Adam, Kesav lecha as Shem Hayom as Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Samach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim BeEtzem Hayom Hazeh. The king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, Samach, he surrounded Yerushalayim BeEtzem Hayom Hazeh on this very day. BeEtzem Hayom Hazeh. That phrase BeEtzem Hayom Hazeh is very interesting. Because where else do we find BeEtzem Hayom Hazeh? We find BeEtzem Hayom Hazeh by Yom Kippur. And that leads the Avudraham to have a very unusual Pesach. What's the halacha? What happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? Do we fast on Shabbos? Do we fast on Shabbos for Tisha B'Av? Absolutely not. We push the fast, Tanis Nidche, we push the fast off to Sunday. I believe that's what happened this past year, no? Okay, so you push Tisha B'Av off to a Sunday. What happens if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? We do fast. Right? We do fast. Okay. Asar B'Teves, by the way, can fall out on Friday. And if it falls out on Friday, we do fast. It has happened. It does happen. And we go into Shabbos fasting, which is also very unusual. But even more unusual is what the Beis Yosef quotes in Simen Tavkuf Nun, in the name of the Avudraham. Beis Yosef, in source number 3, quotes the Avudraham, Rav David Avudraham, one of the Rishonim, who writes Shasara Beteves Hu Meshuna Mishar Tanius. Asar Beteves is different from the other fast days. She'im Hayachal B'Shabbos Lohayu Yecholim Litchoso Liyom Acher. Amazing. Says the Avu Draham, cited by the Beis Yosef, if Asar Beteves were to fall out on Shabbos, we would fast even on Shabbos. We would not push it off. Why would we not push it off? Because the pasuk in Yechezkel that we just quoted says be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that very day. Which leads us to believe that you're not allowed to push off Asar B'Teves to any other day. It has to be on that very day. And that's what we find k'mo b'yom ha-kippurim, just like Yom Kippur. Just like Yom Kippur can be fasted even on Shabbos, so too suggests the Avu Draham, Asar B'Teves, if it fell out on Shabbos, could be fasted on Shabbos. Now, just for accuracy, our set calendar does not allow Asar B'Teves to fall out on Shabbos. It doesn't happen. Okay, but in theory, in a time when we were Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al Pi Ari'iya, when we sanctified the new month according to the appearance of the moon, you could have, in theory, Asar B'Teves falling out on Shabbos. And the Avu Draham suggests that you would have to fast even on Shabbos because the pasuk says be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that very day. Says the Beis Yosef, lo yadati minayin lo zeh, and I do not know where he got this from. That's a big chiddush. Even Tisha B'Av we don't fast on Shabbos. What is it about Asar B'Teves? So that's the question we're going to ask now. What is it about Asar B'Teves that is so significant about today that you could fast even on Shabbos? Very hard to understand. So, if Asar B'Teves was the day that Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel laid his siege around Yerushalayim, which of course would then lead to the breaching of the walls and the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so perhaps we could suggest the following. This is what the B'nai Yisachar says. B'nai Yisachar says, he quotes his opinion of the Avu Draham, Kostru HaRishonim, El Malei Haya Be'ef Shari, if it would be possible, al pi kvius sheyera tzoma asiri b'Shabbos hayadocha Shabbos, we would have if we could have such a scenario, a possibility that the fast of the 10th fell out on Shabbos, it would push away Shabbos, as it says be'etzam hayom hazeh k'mo b'yom kippurim. And then he writes in parentheses, aval al pi kvioseinu, according to our set calendar, l'mishkachas ladik l'b'Shabbos, we don't have such an occurrence that a Asar B'Teves falls out on Shabbos, but if it did, some Rishonim suggest it should push off Shabbos. V'nira l'fiza, d'mizel lamdu chachmei ador be'eis hahu. And it's from this halacha that we would push off Shabbos for Asar B'Teves, not push off Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos for Asar B'Teves. From there, the Chacham derived the following. D'inei Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's interesting. Why is Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av? Why do we fast on the 9th of Av? Why don't we fast on the 10th of Av? When was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? So if you look, it was the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire on the 9th, but the majority of it was consumed, was destroyed on the 10th. So you would think maybe the fast day should be on the 10th of Av. And by Chatzos on the 10th of Av, we're already, we're back to our regular practices. So what's going on? Rabbi Yochanan said in the fourth line, in source number 4, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, with regard to Tisha B'Av, Ilmali ha'isi b'osu ador, had I been at that time period, I would have argued that what? Kivasiv ba'asiri, I would have said that we should fast on the 10th of Av, not the 9th of Av. Sherov shalhecha ba'asiri nisraf, because the majority of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 10th. On the 9th in the evening, they lit the mikdash on fire. And most of it was burnt on the 10th. So the Gemara asks, the rabbis who established Tisha B'Av, a day of fasting on the 9th, why did they do that? Umishani. And the Gemara answers, Ischalta de Poranusa Adifa. The beginning of the punishment is worse. The beginning of the punishment is worse. Hainu, ha'ikar yesh lis'onin al haschala. We have to mourn particularly strong at the beginning. Right? We have to face the harsh reality that lies ahead when the punishment begins. V'niras, so says the Bnei Yisachar, where it's bolded. Dechach me'ador lamdu midivrei ha'navi, she'amar b'nevua chumra soma asiri, she'roi lidchos es ha'shabes, yosem in shariat somas asher behem charva beis mikdashenu. How did Chazal know to establish Tisha B'Av on the 9th? How did they know that the beginning of the punishment is the worst part? You know how they knew it? Because the real beginning of the Chorban was when? Where does the beginning of the end begin? Today, Asar B'Teves. When Nebuchadnezzar first lay his siege around Yerushalayim, that was the beginning of the downfall of Yerushalayim and by extension the Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi says about Asar B'Teves, what does it say? Be'atzem Hayom Hazeh. And what do we learn from that? It's so serious that it could even what? Allow for a fast on Shabbos. So the Bnei Yisachar says, how did we know to make Tisha B'Av on the 9th, not the 10th? Maybe we should make it on the 10th. The majority of the Beis HaMikdash burnt on the 10th. So the Bnei Yisachar says, we used Asar B'Teves as our model. The same way that Asar B'Teves, which is sort of the very beginning of the whole downfall, has a certain chumrah, a certain severity. And what is that severity that you would fast even on Shabbos? So it must be that the beginning of a downfall, right, which, again, not knowing exactly where it's going to go, contains all of the fear and the anxiety of what's happening, of the unknown. And therefore, Chazal said, the same way that the 10th of Teves can be Docha Shabbos, you can fast on Shabbos, so the same thing, when they were looking at the crisis of Tisha B'Av, they said the same thing. Should we fast on the 9th or the 10th? The 9th is when the Beis HaMikdash first was lit on fire. The 10th is when most of it burnt. So they used Asar B'Teves as their model and said, again, the beginning of the downfall is worse. And therefore, Chazal were koveya that what? That the 9th of Av is, in fact, the day that we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even though, again, in reality, the majority burnt on the 10th. What? No, because I guess the seed of it all, in a certain sense, Tisha B'Av is more chumer than Asar B'Teves. But in a certain sense, Asar B'Teves is even more severe than Tisha B'Av, right? Because again, once the Piranha starts, that's the scariest thing. That means Hashem has stopped giving us chances. Right? Meaning you always think like, okay, my parents will give me one more chance, you know, I'm not going to actually get in trouble. Until they actually start to get you in trouble. And then, whoa, this is real. So that's the intensity of today, Asar B'Teves. The intensity of Asar B'Teves, and the reason that Avudra Ham says it would be Docha Shabbos, you could fast even on Shabbos, is because the beginning of the Paranus, the beginning of the punishment, is the most intense. Let me try to explain a little bit more why that is. The Chassam Sofer in the Torah Moshe HaShalem, in source number 5, in Parshas Miketz, helps us to understand why the beginning of something is the most intense. He writes, When Yosef's brothers seem to be getting caught and more caught, says the Chassam Sofer in the first line, Hine amru yarod yaradnu bitchila lishmar ochel. They said, we came down originally, we had an yirida, we came down to Mitzrayim, in order to what? In order to get food. Perish Rashi, yirida hilanu. It was the yirida for us. Yeah, that's what the pasuk says, yarod yaradnu. It says you came down. What do you mean it's Yerida? Are you saying it's a spiritual decline? Explains the Chassam Sofer, Yesh L'dakte Guma Ratzu Bazeh. What do they want? What does Rashi want from this? What were the brothers saying? V'yesh Lomar, Ki Hara B'tchilaso Ra Umar. The beginning of negativity is particularly painful and bitter. Shesofo Lahosif Ra Zachar Zeh. Because as that negative cycle begins, I don't know where it's going to lead to. Umi yodeya ma'ya basofo, says the Chassam Sofer. The brothers were saying, we originally came to Mitzrayim, that itself was a yerida just to get food. But look how much worse it's gotten since we got here. When the punishment is over, when it's all over, va'amnam begamro, when it's finished, shekvar niskayma gezeira legamri, v'kibol onsho, when the whole thing is over and you finish receiving your punishment, tovu, ki acher ha'onesh yanaki mikol chayt v'yavo atov, Because once you've been punished, now you have a clean slate. So when the punishment is over, you're able to say, okay, thank God, we survived, we made it. When the punishment's just starting, you don't know what it's going to be. The person, God forbid, is taken into captivity. You don't know what your captors are going to do to you. You have no idea what they're going to do to you. They're going to be reasonable. They're going to be harsh. They're going to torture me. And that fear, in many ways, is even scarier than the process itself. Some people described in the Holocaust that the beatings were so bad, certain people suffered so terribly at the hands of the Nazis. They said, there's a point, I just read this in this book, there's a point where you're so broken that like you don't even feel the beatings anymore. You are so like disconnected from your own body and from your own pain and suffering that you're not even there. And they said that it was scary. In many ways, the fear of the beating was more painful than the beating. So that's what the Chazan Sofer is describing here. That's what the brothers were saying. We came down to Mitzrayim. We knew it was a Yerida, but we didn't know exactly where it would go. Valkein Amru Yarod Yaradnu Anu Roim Ki Aparanus Maschil Yisgolel Zeh Achar Zeh. And now we're starting to see how one negative experience is leading to the next. Ki Barishona Hischil HaYerida, because at the beginning the Yerida was Banu Lishvor Ochel Zeh Yerida Lanu. As Rashi says, the fact that we had to leave Eretz Yisrael to come here to get food was itself a Yerida. Shuv Achar Kach Helil Meraglim Anachnu. And then we were accused of being spies. And that was even worse. V'achshav matzanu kesef ish b'fi am tachto. Lizgolel aleinu ma'ya b'sofo. And now we have the money that we paid somehow appeared back in our sacks. And now we're caught as thieves. And the brothers are saying, we just don't know. We don't know where it's going to go. That's the intensity of Asar B'teves. The intensity of Asar B'teves, the reason that it would be Docha Shabbos, is that When Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel laid siege on Yerushalayim, it was very unclear what's going to happen now. And again, the Aschalta de Paranusa, the beginning of the punishment, in many ways is the scariest because of the unknown of what's going to be. But let's go one step further in the writings of the Chazan Sofer, because the Chazan Sofer explains to us, and this is a very famous passage. You have to know this Chazan Sofer. Very important to know this Chazan Sofer. I first heard it when I was in YU from Rabbi Baruch Simon. It is printed in the Imre Baruch, in his piece on Asar B'teves. He quotes it from the Siddur of the Chazan Sofer. But I spent a long time trying to track it down where else it's printed in the writings of the Chazan Sofer. And in the Torah's Moshe, in the older edition, in the Drush L'Zayin Adar, he makes this point. Because again, it's a strange halacha. How can you fast on Asar B'teves if it falls out on Shabbos? So, however, when else can we fast on Shabbos, besides Yom Kippur? Let me ask the question like this. What other type of fast can you fast on Shabbos? Atanis chalom. Halacha states that if a person has a terrifying dream, and you're so shaken by it that you feel the need to respond right away, you wake up Shabbos morning, you're so frightened, you're scared this dream is going to come true, so you're allowed to fast even on Shabbos. Why? Because not eating on Shabbos will give you more pleasure than eating on Shabbos. Because you want to do something, so to speak, for God, so that your dream, your frightening dream, won't come true. Says the Chazan Sofer, I'll explain to you this opinion of the Avudraham. Why would we fast on Asar B'teves even on Shabbos? Look what he writes, it's very powerful. It'll totally change your appreciation of what's happening today. He writes at the end of the first line, source number 6. We don't find a single year goes by without the curse of Galus getting stronger and worse. And any generation that doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tell us, it's as if you've destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Nimsa shebechol shana v'shana nischadish chorban chadash. Which means that every year, we are renewing, in a painful way, our relationship with the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So when did the Chorban begin? Where's the beginning of the Chorban? The beginning of the Chorban is when Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, placed his siege around Yerushalayim on Asar B'teves. Which means, what's happening, says the Chasam Sofer, in Shemayim right now? What is Hashem deciding right now? Hashem is deciding right now what our summer is going to look like. Hashem is deciding right now if there's going to be a Tisha B'Av this year. We're putting into motion, or we're blocking, right, the motion of the renewal of the Chorban. Look what he writes, it's scary. V'zeh b'chol pam, k'shemegiya osa yom shel Asar B'Teves. That is the Chasam Sofer. When we arrive at this date, Asar B'Teves, shehischil oz l'mala mishpat ha-chorban. We're deciding now. The judgment is taking place. Is there going to be a Tisha B'Av this summer? Or are we going to be in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash? Kol dor v'dor, yoshvin based in shalmala, v'gozer na-chorban shel kol shana v'shana. The Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and by the way, all that comes along with that is being determined. Are we putting it, again, are we blocking that? Are we blocking that there should continue to be a Chorban? Or are we continuing to allow Gullus to unfold as is? He says in the first line of the left-hand column. He says, "Be'inyan Chodesh Teves." With regard to Chovesh Teves, Yadua Da'al Tzarash. Okay, fine, good. So that's he quotes something from the Sefer Karnayim. Fine, about Chodesh Teves. Not for now. V'yadua Da'al Tzarash She'avra, K'mo Yom She'meisbo Aviv V'imo, Ein Anu Mis'an B'Shabbos. To commemorate something that happened in the past, we don't fast on Shabbos. So if a person fasts on the yahrzeit of one's mother or father, which is a practice, and the yahrzeit falls out one year on Shabbos, since you're commemorating the death of a parent, a thing of the past, you don't fast on Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we're commemorating a thing of the past, so we don't fast on Shabbos. But Asar B'Teves, right now, if today was Shabbos, we'd still fast, says the Avudraham. Why? It's like a Tanis Chalom. We're in the middle of waking up from a very scary nightmare. What's the nightmare? The nightmare that we're experiencing right now is that, God forbid, there's going to be another Tisha B'Av. And we have to make a choice on this day, depending on how much we care and how much we daven for Geula, for the redemption of Yerushalayim and the restoration of Malchus Beis David and the Beis HaMikdash. We're determining now what's going to be in the future. Aval Tanis Chalom Mutar Lisanos. You're allowed to fast the Tanis Chalom on Shabbos. Why? The Bishvil Oneg Sheyeshlo Shemavatel Tzara Hasida Lavo. When you fast on Shabbos, you're trying to block something in the future. That's what Asar B'Teves is. Asar B'Teves, right now, we're trying to block that frightening future of what? Of another year of Tisha B'Av. So therefore, concludes the Chasam Sofer, when we actually get to a Tisha B'Av, once it already happens, then we're not going to fast on Shabbos. But right now, Asar B'Teves, where Chorban is either about to start happening, or is about to, Mashiach is about to start happening, we would fast even on Shabbos. Because we don't want that nightmare of Gullus to continue. Okay, this is the explanation of the Chasam Sofer for the opinion of the Avudraham that we would fast Asar B'Teves even if it fell out on Shabbos. Okay? Good? Okay. Part one of this year. A little bit of an understanding of the background of Asar B'Teves, the unusual halach about Asar B'Teves, and how it informs a lot of things. How the beginning of the Chorban is in many ways the most severe, and that's why also Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av, not Asir B'Av. Because even though the majority of the Beis HaMikdash, like the Bnei HaSasra said, burnt on the 10th, right? We try to look at the starting point. We try to understand that if you don't watch yourself at the beginning, things can start to spin out of control. And that's what Yosef's brother said. Yerod Yeradu. All we did was we had a little Yerida to come buy some food in Mitzrayim. Next thing you know, we're accused of spies. Next thing you know, we're accused of being thieves. Next thing you know, our brother Binyamin's being held hostage. Right, it spins out of control very quickly. Okay, fine. Part one. The Shlach Kadosh in his Akdama to Parshios Vayeshev Miketz and Vayigash, the Sefer Shlach Kadosh Shnei Luchos Abris, the Shlach Kadosh says we read the Parshios of Yosef this time of year. We read the story Vayeshev Miketz Vayigash. We read about Yosef this time of year because Yosef is very much connected to the events of this time of the year. Yosef and Chanukah has many connections. We spoke about some of them. Yosef is Gematria Antiochus. Yosef has the physical beauty and uses it in an elevated way. It's the opposite of Yavan. There's a lot of connections between Yosef and Hanukkah. But I want to try to suggest how Yosef is also very, very important for us to think about. Again, we just read Vayigash this past Shabbos, which he, the Shlosh sees as that parsha of Yosef. And Shabbos always sets the tone for the week. So since this week is Asara B'Teves, it must also have a very deep connection to Yosef and his experience in Mitzrayim. And I want to try to learn a lesson from Yosef at Tzadik in a very practical way in Avodas Hashem. How does Yosef connect to Asara B'Teves? First, let's make the case that Yosef is connected to Asara B'Teves. Who was the first one to ever cry over the Beis HaMikdash? Yosef. Amazing to think about. We just read this past Shabbos that when Yosef and Binyamin are reunited, Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv vayevk, uVinyamin bacha al tzavarav, that Yosef is crying on Binyamin's necks, in the plural. Tzavarei Binyamin. Says Rashi, based on the Gemara in Megillah, the Medrash discusses it as well. Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv vayevk, al shnei mikdashos shasidin lios bechelko shol Binyamin v'sofo lichar. Who's the first one to mourn the Beis HaMikdash? It's Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik cried over the Beis HaMikdash, both Batei Mikdash, which will be in the portion of Binyamin in the future. So on Asara B'Teves, which is really the beginning of the end, it's really the first point of Chorban, it's where Chorban starts, Yosef HaTzadik has to somehow be deeply connected to this day. Aleph. Beis, a second connection between Yosef and today, which is very mysterious and very fascinating, Rav Shlomo Fisher. Rav Shlomo Fisher is one of the great Baalei Machshava in Eretz Yisrael. He's alive today. And he has a volume of drashos called Beis Yishai. And he writes in there an amazing chiddush. He says, there are three major crimes that we deal with throughout our lives. Three major crimes that we, the Jewish people, have to deal with. Communal crimes of the Jewish people that we're still dealing with till this day. What are those three major crimes? Three major crimes are the sale of Yosef, the betrayal, right, of the brothers of Yosef, Chet HaEgel, and Chet HaMeraglim. Those are three huge stains on our national history that we're still dealing with to this day. Adam Rishon is not the family of Klal Yisrael. But from the time that Avram was really considered the first Jew, according to the Ramban, right, the three collective sins that we have as a people are when the entire family of Yaakov teamed up against Yosef, the sale of Yosef, the Chet HaEgel, and the Chet HaMeraglim. Says of Shlomo Fisher, an amazing chiddush, and he says, I'm nervous to say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. He writes in source number 9, Hine yom yud zayin betamuz hu yom chet egel. When did chet egel take place? Right, Moshe comes down, he breaks the luchos. That was on Shiva Asar betamuz. Tisha B'Av is chet hameraglim. Tisha B'Av is chet hameraglim. The meraglim come back with their negative report. Hashem says, you're crying over Eretz Yisrael, I'll give you something to cry about. And that is the starting point of Tisha B'Av. Mechiras Yosef, says Rosh Shlomo Fisher, it's not explicit, Be'eza Yom Haya. It's not clear to us when it was. We don't have a source to tell us the date. But says Rosh Shlomo Fisher, the same way Asar B'Teves leads to Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, leads to Tisha B'Av, so too, Mechiras Yosef leads to Cheda Egel, leads to Cheda Meraglim, and therefore he says, Ilulei de Mistafina. Who knows what that means? Ilulei de Mistafina. What does he say? Ilulei, if I was not Mistafina afraid. Amina, I would say the following. That's a humble way of suggesting a big chiddush. If I wasn't so afraid to say, meaning I know I'm saying something that I haven't seen anywhere else. But it makes a lot of sense to me that Asar B'Teves today, if I wasn't so afraid to say such a big chiddush, I would suggest that the sale of Yosef was Biyom Asar B'Teves. Remez Ledavar, he says in parentheses, a hint to this idea, is that Chodesh Teves corresponds, the Mazel, the astrological sign for Teves, the horoscope for Teves, is the Gedi, which is, of course, connected to the sale of Yosef as they slaughtered a goat and dipped Yosef's blood, dipped Yosef's coat in the blood to trick their father. So I think that this has something to do. He says, I have reason to believe that today was the day that Yosef was sold by his brothers. It's a big chiddush. That's our Shlomo Fisher's suggestion. I'll add to it the following that I thought of a couple of years ago. If you pay attention in the Slichos this morning, there's a very interesting phrase. The phrase describes how on these days, the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Teves, which are all negative days in Jewish history, it uses a very interesting lashon. Anyone have a sitter here? A sitter? Isn't this... It'll be easier to find in there. Let's scroll, but let's see. Let's see if this has slichos in it. Someone find me the slichos for Sarah Tavis, please.
720.
Oh, I got it. Here we go. Sarah Tavis, thank you. Sarah Tavis, we say, listen to this. To me, this sounds like Yosef Atzadik. Yeah, I'm sorry. In the right place. Chasach me'alai me'il. Removed from me was the mantle, hod v'tsefer, of majesty and the crown. What's a me'il? Me'il's a coat. A coat. The coat was removed. The coat was removed. What coat was removed? Look at this next line. Tarof torafbo. Torn away was he on this day. Hanosein imrei shefer. Now, the end of the line says, Hu Ezra HaSofer. And we do have a tradition that Ezra HaSofer's yard site is on the 9th. Is on the 9th of Av. On the 9th of Teves, I believe. On the 9th of Teves, not the 10th of Teves. Here it's describing how on the 8th and the 9th and the 10th, all bad things happen. But I find it very interesting, right, that the Paitan in his Slichos, for the 10th of Teves, would say, the coat was stripped off, and Tarof, Taraf, that's the Lashon by Yosef HaTzadik. So again, even though the context of that line is referring to how Klal Yisrael lost that mantle of leadership in the form of Ezra HaSofer, but the language is very similar to the experience of Yosef having his coat ripped off, and Yaakov being informed that Yosef was Tarof, Taraf, was ripped to shreds. Okay, so perhaps a hint in the Slichos as well to this big chiddush of Shlomo Fisher. So if Asara B'Teves is a day of correcting Mechiras Yosef, so first I'll say something very pasha. What happened on Asara B'Teves historically? Yerushalayim was surrounded. Yerushalayim was surrounded. What happens when you're surrounded by your enemies? I want to say two limudim in Avodas Hashem. When you're surrounded by your enemies, what happens? When you can't get in and out of Yerushalayim, what happens? We're forced to what? We're forced to be together. A siege, as scary as it is, being trapped, right, forces the people who are trapped within to work together. If you've ever been stuck in an elevator with people, right, very quickly you start to get to know them because you don't really have much of a choice. Those are your friends. So it could be, I'd like to suggest, it could be that in response to the day, which was maybe the greatest lack of achdus in Jewish history, when the brothers sold their own brother as a slave to Mitzrayim, maybe the way that we're metakin, right, by force, maybe the way that Hashem forced us to unify is by forcing what? Is by causing Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha to lay siege around Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the ir shechubra lo yachdav. It's a place of connection as it is. But all the more so when you can't come and go as you please, it forced achdus. And maybe that's part of the tikkun. Again, maybe that's part of the tikkun of the sale of Yosef, which took place on this day. By forcing ourselves to what? To be a little bit more united, not to, God forbid, be able to spread apart or to move away from one another. Okay, that's simple point number one. But point number two, what I want to learn, an amazing lesson about Yosef HaTzadik, and very appropriate for this time of the year, being Jews in Chutz La'aretz. When Yaakov finds out that Yosef is alive, in source number 10, Yaakov can't believe it. Just read this past Shabbos. Vayalumi Mitzrayim, Vayavo Eretz Kanan, El Yaakov Aviyam. The brothers come back. Vayagidu lo lemar, oh, Yosef chai, great news. Yosef is alive. And he's Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Vayafag libo ki lo hamin lahem. Yaakov did not believe the brothers. Feels the pain of his heart because he doesn't, can't be. So I saw a very fascinating question in the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe, Moshe Teitelbaum Zatzal, the Halig Yismach Moshe, became a chassid later in his life. It's a good sefer of drush. It's more like a drush sefer than a chassidah sefer, but if you didn't know the Svarim so well, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. He asks a very simple question. He asks a whole series of questions, but one of the questions that really caught my attention, let's just like go into this scene for a second, okay? So the brothers come to Yaakov, they come back from Mitzrayim, and all of them, they come to their father, they come to their father and they say, Dad, great news. What's the great news? Yosef is still alive. So Yaakov Avinu says, really? And they say, no, we're just joking. That would be the most unfunny joke of history. That would be the meanest prank I think ever pulled in history. The brothers would come to Yaakov and say, oh, Yosef's alive. Really? No, just joking, Dad. Yaakov would have a heart attack on the spot. So ask the Yismach Moshe a very simple question. If the brothers come to their father and say Yosef is alive, what's not to believe them? There's no way they're joking about this. If the brothers are claiming that Yosef is alive, there's zero chance that they're joking about this. It must be true that. So what couldn't Yaakov, the Pasuk says, Yaakov didn't believe them. You think they're joking? That's the question the Yismach Moshe asks, amongst many other questions. Take a look by the arrow in source number 11. Va'od kasha. Va'yafag libo. Yaakov's heart, right, couldn't accept. V'chinech shadu shivte yeshuvan l'shaker. Did he really think that they lied to him in the past? Okay, but to lie after 22 years, all of a sudden give him this false hope when he's sitting the last 22 years brokenhearted, to come to their father and say, oh, Yosef's alive. Really? Nah, just joking. So of course they're telling the truth. What couldn't Yaakov believe? What would be the point of such a lie? Asked the Yismach Moshe. So he says in the left column, in the third line, V'kidei liyashev kol zeh, to answer this and all my other questions, Nira d'haya Yaakov doeg u'boche mimanavshach. Yaakov was just crying and he said, it's a lose-lose. Im meis bocha misaso. If Yosef is dead, so I'm crying over the fact that he's dead. V'im chai, but if you tell me that Yosef is alive, but he's in Mitzrayim, I'm even more upset. I don't want to believe that. I'd rather him be dead. Why would you rather him be dead? If he's alive in Mitzrayim, that's even worse. That's even worse than finding out that he's dead. Why? Kivadai nitma bena umos. Because certainly he had been negatively influenced by the umos. You're telling me that my son Yosef has been the one Jew living in Ervas Haaretz for the last 22 years? Imagine, a teenager goes wandering off into the forest one day, never comes back, right? And his parents think that something happened, he's dead, they never found him. They thought maybe he drowned in the river, got eaten by a bear, right? Then they find out, 22 years later, that he's alive, right? He's in secular college, yeah. Right? That he's alive, but what? He's a highly sought after by the FBI leader of some drug cartel in Mexico. So the parents say, honestly, we wish we would have found out that he drowned as the sweet, innocent boy that we remember him in the river. We didn't realize that when he wandered off into the forest, he came out the other side and ended up spending the next 22 years of his life getting involved in crime and theft and murder and drugs, and womanizing. We would have loved, right, at this point, to have imagined that he died a sweet, innocent death, as the young, sweet teenage boy we remember. So Yaakov says, Mimanav Shach. This is a disaster. If Yosef's dead, then I'm terribly depressed, as I've been the last 22 years. You're telling me Yosef's alive, but he's living in Erevas Haaretz. He's living in the immoral capital of the world. He certainly has been negatively influenced. Yaakov knew the only place, the only house on earth where they worship God is my house. And now he's in the opposite extreme. He's in a place that's known for its depravity. Come on, let's be honest. My handsome 17-year-old son, there's no way he stayed from in Mitzrayim. There's simply no way. The Rambam writes, pause for a second, and just look at source number 12. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, and however, we're going to talk very practical things here. Okay? We're going to talk very practical things. Because if you have plans for New Year's, then something's wrong with you. So we're going to try to fix that before it happens. Because Jews don't have plans for New Year's unless you're talking about going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. Okay? The Rambam, yeah, we need Glickshik for these moments. The Rambam writes in source number 12. Just pause in the Yismach Moshe for a second. Derech briyoso shel Adam lios nimshach b'deosav uvamaisav achareyin v'chaveirav. It is the way of people. If you consider yourself a person, this is shayach to you. It is the way of people to be drawn in their thoughts and in their actions after their friends and their contemporaries. V'noeg minag anche medinaso. And they act in accordance with their surroundings. So don't tell me you live in America, but you're not influenced by American society. It's not true. And again, I'm emphasizing this point. You'll see how we connect it back to Asar B'Tavis in a few moments. But separate from Asar B'Tavis, just to understand this point in the context of quote-unquote the holiday season, there's a lot of not-Jewish influence in the world this time of the year. It's very much on display. Right? And sometimes, in an innocent or less innocent way, we get caught up in it. It could be simply admiring the beautiful Xmas trees with their pretty lights. It could be walking out of a supermarket and realizing that as you've been listening while you did your shopping to the holiday songs, you're humming Jingle Bells under your breath. Now, I'm not saying that's the biggest deal in the world. Oh, yeah, to vote a Zara? Well, you're not allowed to enjoy some pretty lights? Well, if you understand maybe sort of where this holiday comes from, if you understand how many Jews throughout history have been murdered in the name of Christianity, then maybe the lights wouldn't be so pretty to you. And maybe the holiday songs wouldn't be so beautiful. And maybe if you understood the origin of New Year's, and if you don't, I highly recommend going online. We'll put it in the group later today so you can listen to this year. It'll shake you to the core. You listen to Lawrence Kellerman's shir, or Blabe Kellerman's shir, on the origins of everything, you know, that happens this time of year, right? And how much of it is deeply hedonistic or anti-Semitic, right? You wouldn't be caught dead at a New Year's party, even if it was the most kosher one, which is probably hard to find. So the Rambam says a person is influenced by his surroundings. Lefichach tzarech adam lischaber letzadikim. Therefore, you need to be connected to holy people. V'leishiv etzel chachamim tamid. Kedei sheyilmod maaseyam. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Sit in the dust of the feet of the sages. You know what that means? It means you don't have to understand. You don't have to understand the conversation that Rav Shechter is having with Rav Willig. But if you see them in the Beis Medrash, go stand nearby, right? It'll have a hashpa on you, whether you realize it or not. You stand in the presence of tzaddikim, chachamim, you learn from their actions. You see that the way that they talk, the way that they act, the way that they think. V'yisrachek min ha'rasham aholchem b'choshech. Distance yourself from the wicked ones who walk in darkness. Kedei shelo yilmod mima'aseyem, so that you not learn from their negative behavior. Ad Kan, the words of the Rambam. So says Yaakov Avinu, my beloved Yosef, my little Ben Zakunim, my tzaddik, my holy tzaddik, he was such a special Jew, Yosef. But you're telling me he's alive in Mitzrayim? That's not anything I want to hear about. I can't even imagine what happened to him by now. Living in the filth of Mitzrayim, the spiritual filth of Mitzrayim. That a nar, that a young man, a 17-year-old handsome young man like Yosef, should be able to what? Be omed b'tzidko, to remain in his level of righteousness of Mitzrayim, bein har b'rasham, it's not possible. It's simply not possible. It doesn't matter how much Torah Yosef learned beforehand. That's the part that people don't understand. People sometimes think, yeah, no, like I built myself up, so now I can live around, you know, I can be around negative people, and it's not going to have ashpa on me. It always does. A person has to always be connected to holy people and to good people. I'll tell you a nice remez that I saw over Shabbos. It was a very holy tzaddik, grandson of Uri of Strelitz. He wrote a sefer called Eshkolos HaGefen, a very mysterious sefer. So he brings an amazing remez. I'll just tell you a very powerful remez. He says, when the pasuk describes Yaakov's love of Yosef HaTzadik, his ben zakunim, and he taught him all the Torah that he taught him. So this very holy, rare sefer says the following. It says in the pasuk, V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav, ki ben zakunim hu lo, v'asalo k'sones pasim. What's a ben zakunim? What's a ben zakunim? Uncle this translates bar hakim, a wise son. Yosef is the ben zakunim. Zakunim, plural? Wisdom, right? He's the one who has all the wisdoms? Yes. Says the Eshkol HaSagefen, Yosef HaTzadik was as wise as all the other brothers combined. Yosef's Chachma was the equivalent of all the other brothers combined. He was the all-encompassing wise son. And that's why Yisrael Ahavis Yosef, Mikol Banav, he loved Yosef from all the other brothers, meaning Yosef was the equivalent of all of the brothers. Ki ben zakunim, because he had all of the wisdom, right? V'hadarta p'nei zakein. What is a zakein? What does the Gemara say in Maseches Kedushin? Zakein is zeh shakana chachma, the one who acquires wisdom. So Yosef is a ben zakunim who? Ben zakunim who? What's the Gematria of who? Hey vav aleph? 12. So he has the chachma of all 12 brothers. He's ben zakunim in the plural, who? And that's why he made him a special coat. Says the Eshkolos HaGefen, what's the gematria of Chachma times 12? Because Yosef has the Chachma not only of himself, but his own Chachma plus the wisdom of all the other 11 brothers. What's Chachma times 12? So how much is Chachma? 73. So what's 73? Okay, is 876. What's 876? 876 is Gematria Yosef. So you'll say, what are you talking about? Yosef's 156. But the face of feet is how much in Gematria? 800. Okay? So Yosef is Gematria 876. Yud, Vav, Samach, Peso, feet is 876, which is 12 times Chachma. So it says the Eshkolos HaGefen, that's how you read the Pasuk. Yisrael Havis Yosef, Mikol Banav. Yaakov identified that Yosef had the wisdom of all of the brothers. Ki ben zakunim, plural. He had all types, right? Not just he was a zakin. He was ben zakunim, plural. He was ben zakunim. How much chachma? Who? Who was gematria 12? He had the wisdom of all 12 brothers. 12 times chachma is gematria, Yosef, with the face of feet. He then brings another remez, which I can't work out for you right now. I'll just tell you what it is. He says, if you take the names of all of the brothers, you spell them out in Miloy. If you spell out the names of all the brothers in Miloy, so you spell out Reuven, Resh Yud Shin, right? Aleph Lamed Peh. You spell out the letters of Reuven's name, Resh Aleph Bez. Right? You spell out the letters of all the Shvatim in Miloy. He says it's Gematria 8,164. Which he says is the same as Ben times Zaken. 52 times Zaken. Zaken. How much Zaken?
157.
Is 8,164. So Ben times Zaken is Gematria, the names of all the Shvatim spelled out. And he does it in the Sefer. I saw it. I saw how he did it. There's no funny business. He didn't do any funny spellings. He didn't add one. Okay. He was a very deep person. We quoted his Sefer a couple times when Rabbi Rubenstein used to come to the apartment. I quoted once a Sefer called Mishnah Sa'itim. Anyone remembers? Who has wild Ramazim. So it's the same thing. And then, of course, when the brothers tried to stop Yosef, what does it say? It says, Ve'afshitu es Yosef. What's the gematria of Kutanto? 876. So they tried to take away. Right? They tried to show the Yosef, you're not better than all of us. Melech is the one who rules on top. So the Pasuk says that they stripped Yosef of Kutanto. It's gematria 876. They tried to take away that extra level of wisdom. Okay, it's an amazing remnant. Why am I telling you this? We're not learning a shiur about Ramazim now. I'm telling you this to show you Yosef was a genius. He was Ben Zakunim. Balaturim says Zakunim stands for five of the six of Sidrei Mishnah. He learned Zraim, and he learned Kodshim, and he learned Moed. He learned with his father. He was a big tzaddik. He learned a lot of Torah, but Yaakov Avinu says there's no way he stayed from Mitzrayim. I don't care how many years he learned in Kolal. I don't care how smart he is. When a person's in a negative environment, it has a hashpa on a person. So let's go back to the Yismach Moshe now. Yeah. Oh, so that's the punchline. So let's see. Right? So Yaakov is crying. He says, Yosef's alive? Nah, can't be. And if he's physically alive, it's a disaster. Because that means he's spiritually even worse. Okay, so take a look in the Yismach Moshe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the end. The line that begins, Kriya Mesim. Right? Gemara says, Rasha'im b'chayim Kriya Mesim. V'hainu sh'amru lo, but that's what they said to their father. No, Dad, you don't understand. We're not telling you Yosef is physically alive. We're here to report something that's shocking to us and shocking to you. Od Yosef chai. D'hainu shu tzadik. No, Dad, and that was the part that Yaakov was struggling to believe. It wasn't a practical joke. Of course he believed. If they told him Yosef's alive, they believed that Yosef is physically alive. But Yaakov says, that's not good. He's probably a big Russia by now. No, Dad. We have good news. He's a tzaddik. Shekorei chai. Shehu ha'ikar. Va'achar kach ha'tofel v'chihu Moshe b'chol aretz Mitzrayim. The first thing you need to know is that what he's chai, he's chai the way you want him to be alive. He's a tzaddik. Even though he's involved in Mitzrayim. He's Moshe b'chol aretz Mitzrayim. So Yaakov says, I'm still nervous, but maybe he's not really it. Right? And they say, no, look at these agalos, look at these wagons. Right? Of course, it's Merame, as the Chazal say, to the last sugya they learned together, Egla Rufa. He's still stark. He's still holding in the sugya. He hasn't changed one bit negatively. And that gave Yaakov tremendous chizuk. That's an amazing chizuk that Yaakov got. More than that, in case you think that Yosef was only from in the privacy of his own home, and when he was out in the streets, when he went to his office, he took off his yarmulke. No such thing. Says the Chassam Sofer, in source 13, the Chassam Sofer HaShalim in Parshas Vayigash, Yesh Lefarish, Shehigidu lo shu Moshe beres Mitzrayim. What does it mean that Yosef rules over Mitzrayim? It's not talking about his political position, it's talking about his spiritual strength. Ve'eino begeder osim anashim. He's not like those people who are described in the Sefer Chovas HaLevavos. Shem tzadikim rak belibam. That they're very firm in their hearts. Aval lefnei einei b'nei adam, heim boshim lavaras Hashem. They're too embarrassed when they have to go to the work holiday party. They're too embarrassed to go in their yarmulke. So they take off their yarmulke. And they start mingling and changing all of their own standards. Right? Yosef HaTzadik was not like that. There are some people, says the Chovas Halavavos, who are very firm in their heart, but when they're too embarrassed, they cave to public opinion. Rather, what was Yosef? Raku Moshe Ba'aretz, V'lo Heim Moshe Malav. He ruled over them, they didn't rule over him. Yosef was a frum Jew in the public arena, and that was the godless of Yosef, to be in such a society and to not be affected negatively by that. The Yisbach Yisrael, in this past week's Parsha, quotes the Rishner. We saw this teaching once by Sukkis. The Yisbach Yisrael quotes the Rishner, who says one step further, that when Yosef sends a message to his father, and he said, Dad, good news. Samani Elokim Ladon B'chol Mitzrayim. Hashem has made me a leader over all of Mitzrayim. So Yaakov's initial response would have been, what? I don't care. Tell me about the Chabad house you built in Mitzrayim. Tell me about the fact that you're still from Mitzrayim. Dad, great news. I'm successful in politics. I don't care. That doesn't interest me. Says the Rishner, no. This is what Yosef was really saying. Yisbach Yisrael quotes a Yisrael of Rishon in source number 14. On the Pasuk, Samani Elokim La'adon. Ki lechora echi tachin she Yosef shalach besura tova gazos la'aviv Yaakov avinu alav ha-shalom. Ki nismano la'adon l'cho Mitzrayim. What's the big news? What's he saying? What's he bragging about? El ha-pei rishu. Samani is understood as Sam ani. Shanochi samti es Elokim la'adon l'cho Mitzrayim. When Yosef says Samani Elokim la'adon, L'chol Mitzrayim, Yosef is not saying God has, Samani has appointed me as master over Mitzrayim, which according to Chassam Sofer we just learned is actually very good. That means I'm in control of Mitzrayim. I'm not being influenced by Mitzrayim. That's very chashuv. But more than that, Samani Elokim, Yosef is saying, Samani, I have appointed Elokim as Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. I've taught all of Mitzrayim through my consistency with my Jewish practices, through maintaining my values, through rejecting Eishes Potiphar, through being a frum Jew in the public sphere, not only in the privacy of my home, I've taught all of Egypt about what a frum Jew looks like. Samani Elokim, Samani Elokim. I've placed God, I've appointed God, I've been the one to teach Mitzrayim about what it means to live in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch. So Yosef HaTzadik is the paradigm for us of someone who is what? Who was living in a society that was completely, completely, completely foreign, and yet he was not influenced whatsoever. We started by saying that Asar B'Teves may have been the day that Yosef was sold. We also pointed out that Yosef HaTzadik was the first one to cry over the Chorban. And Asar B'Teves, we learned, is the beginning of the Chorban. Where in Shemayim, Chassam Sofer said, Hashem is deciding now, is there going to be a Tisha B'Av this year? What happened on Asar B'Teves? We were completely, completely surrounded by our enemies. The spiritual idea of a siege means that you're completely surrounded by foreign influences. That's what Asar B'Teves is. Asar B'Teves represents being completely enveloped by foreign influences. Having the Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, the Chelo, all around us. But that's where we draw our strength from Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who teaches us, even if you're completely surrounded by foreign influences, as again a Jew in the world might feel this time of the year, as he tries to walk down the street, right? And there's so much, you can't walk into a store without, you know, just to buy groceries, again, without being influenced by all of the holiday decorations. And you walk down the street and everyone's got their little yashka thing on the lawn, yeah, and the lights, and the music, and the culture, right? It influences a person. And bechlal, the fact that we live in America, in general, we have to think about this. But Yosef HaTzadik is the one who teaches us that when you're completely surrounded, it's still possible to be a tzaddik. It's possible. It's not easy. Yaakov couldn't believe it. But it's possible for a person to what? To still be able to be in Yerushalayim, even if Yerushalayim is surrounded. To stay in your holy Yerushalayim, even if Yerushalayim is completely surrounded. That's the connection between Yosef HaTzadik's life and the siege of Nebuchadnezzar and Asar B'Teves. Okay, I want to conclude with a couple final points. The Rebbe of Spinka, the Chakal Yitzchak, introduces us to another pshat in the Agalos. I'm sure most of us have heard that when Yaakov saw the wagons, he was very excited because wagons hint to Egla Arufa, and that was the last topic that Yosef was learning with his father, the last sugya they were learning together. Okay? But there's another version. There's another version of the story. Says the Chakal Yitzchak, says the Spinker Rebbe, in Source 15. He says, Hadikdukim Rabu Ayin Yismach Moshe, see the Yismach Moshe, he has a lot of questions on what happened with Yaakov, and he's psukim. Vinei b'medrash Rabba l'fi nuschas Rashi, v'huva v'manas kuhuna, im yamin lachem utav, v'im lav tomru lo, lo b'parshas agolos shal mishkan parashti mimenu. Yosef sent the message with his brothers. Tell dad I'm alive. If he believes you, then great. If not, remind dad that the last thing we were learning when I left was what? We were learning about the wagons of the Mishkan. The wagons. Right? Yosef sent wagons. Tell dad we were learning about the wagons. What wagons? The wagons of the Mishkan. Again, the other chazal we know is that wagons, agalot, sounds like egla, and egla is egla rufa. But this is even more direct. This version of the Medrash says, tell dad we were learning about wagons. What wagons? The wagons of the Mishkan. What are the wagons of the Mishkan? What was he signaling to his father? It's Gvaldik Torah. He says the following. He says in the next line, V'hinei derech ha-Torah ha-Kadosha va-Kadusha mechuna b'shem reshus ha-Yachir. Torah, a life of Kedusha. When a Jew is connected to Hashem Echad, that's called reshus ha-Yachir. Reshus ha-Yachir, private domain. The reshus of the Yachir. And therefore, Valkein Gavo Asara, the reason that a Rishus HaYachid is what? Is 10 Tfachim. Ratzalomar Davar Shebekedusha. Heino Pachos Mi Asara Kiyadua. Just like you need what? 10 Jews to make a minion. So you need 10 Tfachim to make a Rishus HaYachid. Okay. Of course, keep in mind, today is the 10th of the 10th. Definitely something to think about. The 10th day of the 10th month. Aval derech ha'amim v'chitzonim. But the negative forces of the world, how are they described? They're mechuna b'shem reshus harabim. What did we just finish on Chanukah? What were we trying to do? We were trying to shine the light from within our Jewish homes out into the reshus harabim. To illuminate the reshus harabim. That the street, so to speak, could what? Could pick up on the inner light of Hashem. That we could turn the reshus harabim into Rishus HaYachid, so to speak. Rishus HaRab means the multiplicity of negativity. Shudarach Paretz B'li Mechitza. Just like the street, right? The street's a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more hefker. So that's the Sitra Achar, so to speak. It's called Rishus HaRab. Va'over Aveir V'yotzi Mederach HaTorah Kedosha L'Derach HaChitzonim. So when a Jew leaves Hashem to go out to negativity to do an Aveira, that's called going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. Chevi, ready for this? Yosef says to his father, what was the last thing we were learning about? We were learning about the wagons of the Mishkan. How does the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos talk about the wagons of the Mishkan? The wagons that they used to transport the materials, the beams of the Mishkan. So says the Chakal Yitzchak in the second column, Hinei hod dekayim alon, how do we know that you're not allowed to go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab on Shabbos? Where do we see such a thing? From the wagons of the Mishkan. The wagons of the Mishkan. The Gemara describes that the dimensions of the wagons were big enough that they would be considered Rishus HaYachid. And when they would take beams off of the wagons, that was Hotzah Mirishus L'Rishus. It was going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. So what was Yosef saying to his father? He was saying, Dad, the last sugi we learned about was what? Was the possibility of transfer from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. But he was saying back to his father, I'm still holding clear in the sugya. I understand there's something called Rishus HaYachid, there's a world of Hashem. I understand there's a Rishus HaRabim, there's a world called Mitzrayim. And I want you to know that I understand the prohibition of going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. That I'm still sensitive to that. V'nei, in the final paragraph, Yosef tziva lehem lomer la'aviv, shumashbiyavu moshel, I'm ruling in Mitzrayim, The Rami is low, Shu Omi Bitzidko. I'm a tzaddik. I'm a mashpia. Right? Yosef is connected to the midah of Yesod. Yesod corresponds to your bris milah. The bris milah is the part of the body that's mashpia. That's mashpia the zera. It emits the seed, which will create the child. So Yosef says, I'm a mashpia, but a good mashpia. A mashpia tov. Alkein amar shem lo yamin lachem. If dad doesn't believe me, that I'm still from, tell him, remember we learned the agalos from Mishkan. U'misham raya, sha'asr letzeis me'akadusha lachutz. That you're not allowed to go from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRav. That's what we learned from the sugya of the agalos of the Mishkan. And that's what Yosef was saying to his father. I'm still holding by Rishos HaYachid. I might be living surrounded by Egyptian influences, but I'm still in Yerushalayim. I'm not succumbing to the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, so to speak, in the Asar B'Tevis context. Okay? However, to conclude, the Sfas Emes in Parshas Vayeshev. And then two final Rashis. One from this week's Parsha, one from next week's Parsha. Because I want to show you that, again, this is a theme that's being developed this time of the year. Sfas Emes says in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayihi bebeis Adonav HaMitzri. And Yosef was in the home of his Egyptian master. Vayehi sham beveis hasawar, and Yosef was in the dungeon. Says the Sfas Emes, Vayehi behav yaso yiyah, as he is, he was, and he will be. Yosef is very consistent. Vayehi, just like he was in his father's house, just like he was in the dungeon, just like he was in Potiphar's house, Yosef is always consistent. Just look at the final source for 1 second. Rashi at the beginning of Parsha Shemos, Yosef Hayah b'Mitzrayim, says Rashi, we know Yosef's a Mitzrayim. As it's describing the family of Yaakov coming to Mitzrayim, you don't have to tell us that Yosef's a Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Yosef Hayah b'Mitzrayim? Says Rashi, lo diya tzidkasa, to teach us the tzidkus of Yosef, who Yosef haroa son aviv. The same Yosef who was a shepherd boy for his dad, for his father, who learned b'chavrusa with the Gadol Ador, who Yosef Shai b'Mitzrayim, v'nasa melech, v'omei b'tzidka, that Yosef stayed from. Wherever he was, he stayed from. Says the Sfas Emes, anytime you see Yosef, it always says, Hayo Yosef, v'ayihi Yosef. He was, and he will be, and he is. Hu bechinas ishtavus, back to the Sfas Emes, second line. Hu bechinas ishtavus. Yosef had consistency. Shalo kibol shinoi mikol eila makomos. Yosef wasn't negatively influenced by his surroundings. It didn't matter if he was in a dungeon, if he was learning b'chavrus with the Gadol Ador. It didn't matter if he was being seduced by a non-Jewish woman. It didn't matter if he was a king in Mitzrayim trying to save the world with his economic plan. In all the places, Yosef was the same consistent Yosef. And that's what it means. V'yosef hayib Mitzrayim. Hu Yosef haroa, hu amelech v'lo nishtame. And that's the idea of tzaddik yisod olam. Right? Tzaddik yisod olam. If there's one part of the building that's never going to change, it's the foundation of the building. I might decide to change the wallpaper in one of the rooms of our house, or to paint the walls, or to buy a new bed, or to buy a new dresser, right? Or to put in a new refrigerator or a washing machine. Yeah? But the foundation of the house is not something that changes. You might do some serious, changes to the rooms in the house, right? But you're not going to change the foundation. The foundation has a certain consistency to it. And that's who Yosef HaTzadik was. Wherever he was able to be consistent. So to just end with one final Rashi from this week's Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu re-encounters Yosef on his deathbed, and Yosef walks into the room, and Yaakov sits up for Yosef. A father should sit up for a son. And he should bow to his son. He's Vayishtachvu, right? He bows to Mal Rosh Hamita. Says Rashi in Source 17, our final source for today. Hafach atzo litzar hashchina. Mikan amru shashchina lamala mirashosav shachola. Fine. Davar acher al Rosh Hamita. Why did Yaakov all of a sudden position himself in such a way at the head of the bed? Al shahaisa mitaso shlema. Yaakov, on his deathbed, is able to say, Baruch Hashem, all my children are from. And the one who had it the hardest, who I didn't even believe could possibly stay from, in such a society, he stayed from. Mitaso shleim, my bed is complete, meaning all my children that were produced in my bed are complete. She'ein barasha. Sharei Yosef melechu, Va'od shenishba lebein agayim, he was kidnapped amongst the Gentiles. Va'arehu omid b'tzidko, but he stayed a tzaddik. So, chaver, the lesson of Masar B'teves, the lesson of all the sugyas of Yosef Tzaddik that we read this time of the year, right? And the connection between the two is that when a Jew feels that he's being completely surrounded, he has to know that, yes, it's very likely that he's going to be negatively influenced. It's very hard to be a Jew who steps outside from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But it's possible, as Yosef taught his own father, it's possible for a person to live in Mitzrayim and to stay religious. And again, the thought that we have to have on Asar B'teves as Yerushalayim, which represents that inner point of holiness, is being surrounded again in the heavens by Nebuchadnezzar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding, are we going to fight back and break this siege and expand Yerushalayim outward and build the Beis HaMikdash, or are we going to once again be sitting on the floor crying on Tisha B'Av? That's being determined in Shemayim right now. And a lot of it has to do with to what degree do we even still realize that we're holding on to our inner tzidkus and drawing from the message of Yosef HaTzadik. So, Amir Tzashem, we should be zocha. We should be zocha to make it through these weeks in particular. Again, it's true every day of the life of a Jew, especially in Chutz Laretz. In Eretz Yisrael, there's also challenges, but especially in Chutz Laretz. But again, I think even more so this time of the year, you see Jews becoming like casual and like, you know, thinking it's like cute to enjoy certain Christian cultural things, which are just so far into what we believe. And it's just important that we use Asar B'teves, the day of the siege, to make a cheshbon and nefesh. In what way has my life been influenced by my surroundings? And in what way can I, so to speak, be aware of the threat and the danger? And hopefully that in Shemayim, on this day, Kadosh Baruch Hu will paskin that this year, like the Navi Zechariah told us, the Chorban will be turned into Sason and Simcha and Moedim Tovim. Okay? Thank you all for being here. I hope you enjoyed.